The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today is the last day of the Cabinet before the summer recess. On its last day, the government is set to announce the details of the National Development Plan as well as the Economic Summer Statement. The National Development Plan will allocate billions for housing, energy, water and transport projects from 2026 to 2030 and will even look beyond that time horizon. To tell us more, Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So, they're going to release this today, but they managed to tell us all pretty much yesterday.
Well, very hard to keep anything secret at the minute, isn't it? Look, yes and no, in that we know that the broad parameters of the National Development Plan and the final allocations were being discussed yesterday by party leaders and the money ministers. So it's going to be 100 billion euro out to 2030 in terms of the revised plan. The original plan was launched back in 2021 in Bourke Cuive. And then there will be another 100 billion allocation beyond 2030, between 2030 and 2035. So there's, some significant questions of where the money for that is going to come from. We know where the money for the next 5 years is going to come from, and why they're having the revision is that there is a bigger pot than we thought there would be in 2021. They have the 14 billion euro in the Apple tax money. They have money from the sale of AIB shares, and the government is now saying, well, we are going to plough that in to extra resources, particularly around housing and energy connections, water connections. There's going to be big announcements for those, additional money for Metrolink as well. But we're not actually going to get the full scale of the projects and where everything is going to be spent until the budget. So what you're going to see today is that the ministers will come out and they'll say that the Department of Housing has gotten X and the Department of the Environment has gotten Y billion euro. And then it will be up to those departments to decide where they use it, how they use it in the budget. And if you actually look at the National Development Plan, I was having a look at it last night and this morning, it's hundreds of projects. We tend to think that it is the really big stuff, the Metrolink, the National Grid, all the rest of it. But the National Development Plan covers roads, bypasses, school building. Like, there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of projects contained in this. None of the ones that were already in it that have been funded and are at various different stages will be defunded. But there is now scope for quite a bit of extra spending.
Now, you don't get as much for a billion as you used to get. I'm sure that's very true. But when, those who are tendering for projects know that the government is kind of awash with cash, how do you ensure value for money? Are they putting anything in place in this development plan to ensure value for money, to ensure acceleration of planning? In other words, a special division in the planning authority, or maybe even a different planning authority for critical infrastructure?
Well, there is going to be some new measures in terms of planning and speeding up planning that's in the national interest. What that exactly looks like in terms of, is it a new unit? Is it exemptions if the government is taking on the project? We don't really know. We're going to find out later. But they have been looking at models in other countries where if it is the state that takes on a particular project, be that energy or whatever it is, that they can sort of circumvent the usual planning applications and do it that bit quicker to get around things like maybe judicial reviews, and just to get those projects that we will absolutely need in the coming years to address housing shortfall or whatever it happens to be off the ground that little bit quicker. So I'll be interested to see where that comes from. In terms of value for money, they've been talking about this for many, many years, and even since 2021 there have been changes to procurement, often in the wake of the National Children's Hospital debacle, which we know went out to tender without a final design and has just been an absolute millstone around the government's neck. But for example, some of the figures quoted this morning in the papers are around a 10 billion allocation when it comes to energy, when it comes to water, the electricity grid, and the Metrolink project. And the Metrolink project has already ballooned from 3 billion on its own to 9 billion. So how much extra is going to be put in there to deliver that? 10 billion, like you say, doesn't exactly buy you what it used to. So all of these individual allocations, again, I don't know how much of it we'll get today, as in this is what the Metrolink is getting. But you've projects like that that have been stalled for 25 years that have absolutely ballooned in cost. And I think if you got it for 9 billion at this stage, the government would probably say, we'll take that good value. It could cost a lot more even than they're allocating at the moment.
Yeah, I'm intrigued though, when I talk to you about the planning blockages and so on, the Irish Times writing about exemptions to some environmental assessments and the planning fast track for key national infrastructures. measures are being studied by government, and they're being asked to look at other jurisdictions where they've kind of got around all of this. Why do we keep on reinventing the wheel?
That's a good question. Why do we keep on coming back to this planning thing? I mean, we were told that the planning bill, which was the largest or the second largest piece of legislation in the history of the state and passed a couple of years ago, would solve an awful lot of this. And it seems as though it hasn't. We still haven't got around things like judicial review. I mean, the environmental assessments are kind of important when you're looking at building. Like if you're building a motorway, for example, it is kind of important that you know where you're building it through and the environmental impact that's going to have. There's obviously going to be environmental challenges to the offshore wind when that comes about, and there has when they're looking at building on the Kish Bank and the different spawning areas there of the fish colonies that we rely on an awful lot for our fishermen and fisheries industry. So it is, I suppose it's casting around to see our other countries. I mean, Canada has been cited, for example. They have a scheme like the one that I was talking about, where if it is in the national interest, you can get faster planning. So they're coming back to that again. But you just think, like, you know better than anyone, how long have we been talking about planning and presenting different bits of legislation for it, and yet still it is the big blockage at the minute. And when it comes to housing in particular in this plan, okay, there's going to be extra money. I think the allocation is going to be in the region of 40 billion over the next 5 years, which sounds like a huge amount of money. That's only great if you can spend it and if you can actually get the boots on the ground and the people to do it. And we have a massive shortage of construction workers here, as in other countries. It's not a very simple thing to bring it in. So I know the Planning Institute yesterday were saying on News Talk Breakfast that when you do things at scale and on the scale that they're going to be done in the National Development Plan, that's when you can attract international companies to come in and tender, because it is worth their while and it's guaranteed government money to do it. But you would still have that question mark of, okay, you're throwing money at the housing problem, but you've been throwing money at it for years and we're not seeing an increased delivery based on the last few years' figures.
Now the big bugbear for developers who will, I suppose, have to be the ones to solve our housing problem, because even if local authorities build, they normally subcontract to other people to actually do the construction. They don't have massive construction yards and planning departments and QSs and all the rest of it. They simply don't have that anymore. So it's going to be the private sector. But the developers are all saying, look, we can't build apartments at a price that people are going to be able to afford. So either you've got to have a massive subsidy to every apartment that's built, or you go back to building houses on green fields, you know, new suburbs, new towns, perhaps, where you're going for low rise, no lifts and no underground parking, surface car parking and so on. I mean, is there any talk of kind of going back to the old way to solve this crisis, which, you know, won't last forever?
Which won't last forever. I mean, look, there is some of that going on. It's very difficult in areas, particularly like Dublin and the commuter belt, in a lot of cases, to find those areas. It sounds an awful lot. Just when you were saying it, the word that came into my head straight away, Pat, was decentralisation. And one of these last big government plans that we had 20 years ago that just never worked, because a lot of people, even if you build these houses in places and towns outside of Dublin, if you're trying to get people to move, their work might be in Dublin or in Cork or in Galway or whatever it is, and people don't want to move. That's slightly changed in the era of remote working, I know. But you also have to build where there is going to be demand for it. So look, this is a step probably in the right direction when it comes to the National Development Plan and putting the resources there. But a lot of the tweaks that are happening at the moment seem to be around the edges or stuff that's not necessarily going to make it happen. Like apartments, you're right, the developers keep on saying they can't build it for cost. And so the government's answer is, well, let's reduce the minimum standard and they can fit more in and maybe they can
make it a cost there.
Where's
the vision for the future? I mean, we were talking about building metro and that's going to cost a fortune. They're probably going to try to do as much of it above ground as they possibly can, because tunnelling is expensive and even open cut is pretty expensive, not as expensive as tunnelling. But the idea of creating new towns, new suburbs with fast track public transport. And I mean, if you put the transport in, it doesn't, and it's quick and reliable and regular and 24 hour, people won't mind living, you know, say 50k away from Dublin. If you can do that 50k on public transport in 20 minutes, people are not going to complain.
Yeah, look, there's, I suppose, two things to that. One is that you also have to consider the people who are also living in areas that currently aren't well served. And that's what they're trying to get at with the bus corridors, with the new rail and with the metro. But when you're talking about that big vision picture, like the Metrolink is going to be one line from the airport into town. It's not like it's going to transform Dublin into a city like Paris or London, where you can get about and go to different suburbs and get that 50k out towards Maynooth or, you know, wherever it is that isn't served like a Dart line at the minute. The vision piece is a really interesting point that I just feel has been lacking, not only from this government, but from the previous government. I know I've said it before. People who listen regularly are probably sick and blue in the face. Just the lack of ambition of a big picture plan that we had both in the election, in really any of the main manifestos, and in the programme for government, to say this is what we want Ireland to look like in 2035 is still not there. Like, all of the stuff that's going on today is building on existing projects. We're not going to have some massive new project announced today that's going to suddenly take the 30 billion in and is going to transform Ireland overnight. It is incremental building. Yeah. And look, maybe that's the way you have to do. You govern in, you know, what is it? You campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. There is limitations on what the government can do. And the summer economic statement we're going to get today will also give a snapshot of that, that this planning is all fine. We have total uncertainty as to what's going to happen with tariffs. We don't know what's going to happen through the rest of the Trump presidency, given how uncertainty is and the impact on global finances. So perhaps this is the prudent plan, to build incrementally, and you're never going to change the country entirely in 10 years.
I'm just wondering about, you know, future thinking. There's no doubt within 20 years, you're going to have autonomous vehicles everywhere. And that might mean that you've got autonomous buses, not the huge trundling double-deckers we have at the moment, but perhaps smaller vehicles taking 20, 30 people, which will be autonomous and which will be running every couple of minutes, just like maybe a Dart line or a Metro line would do. I mean, that's the kind of thinking they've got to start doing, you know, to depend on the development of technology in designing what the way forward for us.
Yeah, but where are you going to put all of those? How do you get one of those to go through Dublin on a lane that isn't clogged by cars even in 10 or 15 years, even if there's a smaller number? You know, the autonomous cars are great, but they still have to sit in traffic, whether that be with other autonomous cars or whether that be with people just driving around the place. So a lot of the transformation of particularly a city like Dublin, but even Cork, if you talk about, you know, the Cluas and the Gluas out in Galway and whatever you want to do it, you still have to have the reality of this has to physically take up space somewhere. And how do you do that? Do you go the route of some American cities and put them on big monorails that are up 30 meters in the air? Yeah. You know, try getting planning for that and getting the permission to be under it. So I actually really agree with you that I would love to see more of a vision for this is how we're going to have 15-minute cities or whatever it is in the future. But there's a lot of practical realities, and there is as big as 100 billion sounds, and people will be looking going, oh my God, like, it only goes so far.
Mm. By the way, one other little detail, alcohol labelling, and you made the award for political cowardice for the deferral of that. They've tweaked it a bit.
Slightly less cowardice maybe. So it was meant to come in initially in 2026. They pushed it back until 2029 was the reports initially going to cabinet, because of concerns about tariffs and them having to put different labels on perhaps bottles that were going to be sold in Ireland versus bottles that were going to be sold abroad. It's going to cabinet today with a slight tweak. It's a 2-year delay rather than a 3-year delay. So this is going to be kicked out until 2028. And what I'm told from people inside the government is that in the meantime, Europe is going to be legislating for this. It may well be the case that it comes in before 2028, but that will be under a European footing rather than standalone Irish legislation. But that's the decision, not a 3-year delay, a 2-year delay.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much.
News. The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.